This is podcast number 145 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I want to tell you the story of Israel Israel's experience with the Tories. Let's end the week with one more American Revolutionary story from Pioneers and Patriots. This time we're going to see the bravery of a young wife. Here's the story. In the early twilight of a winter afternoon in 1777, a young man walked rapidly along the road from Wilmington to Philadelphia. He was closely wrapped in a large cloak, inside which he carried various bundles and packages, including a small bag of money. He was clearly anxious to reach his journey's end, yet as he approached the ferry, he lingered along the road until darkness fell and the lights of the city began to appear in the distance. Then, under the friendly cover of the darkness, he walked boldly toward the British sentinel who guarded the ferry entrance. Philadelphia was at this time in the hands of the British General Howe, and his soldiers were quartered in the city. The Tories of Philadelphia were joyful indeed because of the presence of the British, but Whigs, unfortunate enough to remain, suffered inconvenience and sometimes real hardship. Among the Whig families thus suffering were the mother and sisters of the young man at the ferry, and his present journey was to carry them relief. Hailed by the British sentinel with the customary question, "Who goes there?" the young man promptly answered, "A friend," and when further questioned gave quite as promptly the British countersign for the night. "Pass, friend," said the sentinel. The young man hurried on, glad to escape his searching eyes. This man, Israel Israel, was the elder of two sons of a widowed mother. When war broke out, both of the brothers desired to fight for liberty, but the aged mother, two sisters, and Israel's young wife seemed to need the protection and support of one of the young men, and it was decided that one must remain at home. It was hard to choose between them. It was finally settled that they should draw lots, and this ended in the lots falling upon Joseph, the younger brother, who therefore went to fight. Israel continued to live upon his little farm in Wilmington, making frequent visits to the old mother and sisters in Philadelphia. Since the British had seized the city, only king's men or loyalists were permitted to pass in and out. Israel heard strange stories of the rough treatments Whigs within the city were receiving, and he grew daily more fearful. He tried to devise some way to get inside the British lines. At length, help came from an unexpected source. A Tory neighbor, knowing of Israel's longing to learn how his mother was faring, obtained for him the British countersign, and thankfully accepting his neighbor's kindness, Israel had passed the sentinel, as we have seen, and was soon walking rapidly in the direction of his mother's house. Once within, the young man was relieved to find his mother and sisters well, though sorely in need of the supplies he had brought. Soldiers were quartered in the house, they told him, and the timid women were very weary of their rough, noisy ways. Then cautiously they led Israel to an inner room, where he was surprised to find a soldier in continental uniform. "Why, 'tis Joe," he cried, and the brothers clasped hands joyfully. "How did you get here, man?" asked Israel. "Did some Tory friend help you as mine helped me?" "'Tis too long a tale to tell," answered Joseph. "'Tis enough that I'm here. Indeed, I must be gone. I must be far from the city before light." It was fully 11 o'clock when the happily united family sat down to supper, still talking busily of their experiences in these trying times. Suddenly, the tramp of horses in the street without was followed by loud knocking at the door. In a moment, Joseph had left his untasted supper, for to be caught here in continental uniform meant imprisonment and perhaps worse. The rest rushed after him up the stairs, helped him out of the telltale uniform, and saw him safely out of sight on the roof before they descended to open to the pounding, shouting soldiers below. It was Israel himself who unbarred the door. Upon him the soldiers rushed, shouting, "Now we have him, the rebel rascal!" "Who calls me a rebel?" calmly asked the young man, shaking off the rough hand of the Hessian sergeant who commanded the group. "Your own slave admits it," answered the sergeant, pointing to an old slave who stood with hanging head in the doorway. The master fixed his keen eye upon the trembling slave, as he said carelessly, "There's a mistake here, gentlemen. It's my brother Joe you're looking for, no doubt. He fights in the rebel army, but he isn't here." And as he spoke, Israel could only hope his words were true, and that Joe was indeed some distance away by this time. "Stay," he added, as if a new thought had just come to him. "I believe an old uniform of Joe's has been left in the house. I'll get it, and you may see for yourselves whether I'm its rebel owner." So, still calmly, he went upstairs and returned with the garments so lately thrown aside by the escaping soldier. Now it chanced that Joe was a small man, while Israel was tall and broad, quite a giant, in fact. Even the soldiers could only laugh when Israel struggled, but all in vain, to get into the uniform. The sergeant made all due apologies, and dismissing his men, proposed that, since supper was on the table, he stay and share it. Little as the family desired his presence, they dared not object, and they made a place for the self-invited guest. When the officer had taken his departure, Israel bade his mother and sisters goodbye and set out upon his homeward journey. Passing the sentinel safely, he tramped the 30 miles between the ferry and his home, arriving weary but relieved that his dangerous errand was safely accomplished. At home, however, he met fresh difficulties. The friendly Tory who had given him the countersign proved far from friendly at heart, for he had betrayed the secret of the journey to the British, and now Israel found himself arrested and accused of entering the British lines as a spy. Together with his wife's brother, the young man was carried off to a British warship in the Delaware to be tried for his life. While it was not true that he was a spy, his activity in the Patriot cause could not be denied, and his Tory neighbors were more than ready to testify against him. The Roebuck, on which the prisoners were confined, lay not far from the town, directly opposite, it happened, to Israel's little farm. As he lay on the deck, on the coil of rope which was his only bed, he could see the lights in his windows, telling of the lonely young wife within the house, trembling for his safety. Only 19 years old, she was now left quite unprotected. In the morning, Israel saw his cattle driven out upon the meadow by the riverside, and knew the brave wife was caring as she could for the home in his absence. His enemies were on hand early with their tales of his evil deeds. He had been a rebel from the first, they said. He had given no provisions for the use of His Majesty's soldiers and fleet. Indeed, he had been heard to say he would sooner drive his cattle as a present to General Washington than to sell them for a cartload of British gold. "Indeed," said the commander of the Roebuck, "and where are these precious cattle?" "There, on the meadow, sir, in plain sight," responded the Tory informers. Then the commander sternly ordered men ashore to drive the cattle down to the river, where they should be slaughtered before their rebel owner's eyes. The young wife, having risen at dawn, was watching eagerly from an upper window of the farmhouse for some sign of her husband's fate. She saw the soldiers rowed ashore from the ship, saw them land and march toward the meadow. Guessing their errand, she ran down with a sudden determination to resist. No one was in sight to help her but the small boy who had driven the cows to the pasture, and he was only 8 years old. Calling him to follow, she started for the pasture, and pulling down the bars, ran to drive the cattle out. With the small boy who helped valiantly, she soon started the herd in the right direction. The soldiers were coming nearer now and were shouting angrily that they should fire, and fire they did. By this time Mrs. Israel was thoroughly aroused, and she only called back, "Fire away," while she ran hither and thither with the boy guiding the frightened cattle. With the balls falling around them, the young woman and the little boy braved death in defense of those rebel cattle. "This way, Joe, head them this way. Don't let a single one escape." With the last one through the bars, Mrs. Israel caught up with the little boy, stumbling in his terror, and fastened the cattle securely in the barnyard. The soldiers, perhaps a little ashamed of making war upon a woman and a child, turned back to the ship. On the deck of the Roebuck, officers and prisoners had watched the scene, and the prisoners at least must have gloried in the courage shown by the young wife. The trial went on, but strange to say, the officers, for some reason, changed their harsh attitude toward the prisoners and sent them home free men. They even rebuked the Tories who had accused a man bound on a peaceful errand of duty to his old mother. Israel went home in honor on a splendid barge with presents for his brave wife from the officers of the Roebuck British Man of War. Do you think you could be so brave? Bye-bye. See you next time.